The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back. It's 11:02, final hour of the show. So good to have you here. I'm Randy Corporan, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. Apologies to the callers on the line, because we're changing topics. I have been so excited about this since before last week's show, when I found out we were going to get to have my good friend and caretaker, Dr. Julie McCallan from Cenogenics, in studio with me. To introduce, this is one part of the visit, to introduce your new partner, Dr. Tim Watt. No S. Dr. Tim Watt. So good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. When you refer to me as your caretaker, that makes me think you're a bit older than I realize. But just to
correct
the record, I'm his age management medicine physician. And no, it'll put him further and further from ever needing a caretaker.
Well, I'm sad to say you've seen enough of me now to know whether I have a caretaker or need one. So big news with Cenogenics, and it involves our other in-studio guest, Dr. Tim Watt. Tell us about that.
I've known Dr. Watt, who I'd like to say is, but actually I suppose it's correct to say was, a neurosurgeon for his last almost 20 years of his career in Rapid City. And he's been a patient and a friend of mine for many, many years. With the medical tyranny that has attacked us the last couple of years, I've just been busier and busier as people find out they can actually do things to keep themselves from getting sick from this virus. And I needed another full-time physician at the practice, so I've been carefully and, I thought, tactfully wooing Dr. Watt my direction, because of course a neurosurgeon is always the smartest guy in the room. He's brilliant. And this past Monday was his first day full-time with us, so I'm tickled to have a like-minded, very brilliant man who has been peripherally in this field for quite some time now joining me full-time.
And Dr. Tim, welcome. Welcome to Colorado.
Well, thank you. It's very nice to be here. I appreciate you having me on. And I always get embarrassed when Julie talks, because she's fighting my wife to be president of my fan club. But I have been working at Cenogenics on a very part-time basis for 9 years now. But after 35 years of cutting on people, I decided it was time for a change. And Julie needed help. And so here I am full-time in Denver.
Well, it's pretty exciting, and we introduced listeners to this show a little bit to you last week by playing a few clips from your YouTube channel and those beautiful little minute or so blurbs that you put out that you end with, it's not brain surgery.
Yeah.
You have a little expertise in that realm. Talk a little bit about why you do that, what it is, and how people can listen to some of those clips.
I think sure. The YouTube site is Tim Watt, MD, and I realized that the biggest limitation as a surgeon is you operate on one person at a time. And even with what Dr. McCallan and I do down at Cenogenics, as you know, as a patient, we treat one patient at a time. And this is a message that I really feel needs to get out to a lot of people. And so I began looking at how could I get more of a mass audience. And so it seemed to me the answer was put the message out on social media and see if we couldn't get the word out to more people than just a trickle doing it one person at a time. And a lot of people say, well, look, you're a successful neurosurgeon. Why would you leave neurosurgery? But on reflection, I left neurosurgery for the same reason I went into neurosurgery, not to get sued by the American Academy of Neurology. I was originally going to be a neurologist, and they make fascinating diagnoses. And that's as far as it goes. They say, congratulations, this is what we call it. It's going to be ugly, but we don't have diddly to do about it, but this is what we call it. And everything that was fixable went to the neurosurgeons. And I liked, here's your problem, here's your fix. But if you reflect on that, the best fix for a problem is to not get the problem in the first place. And that's what we do at Synagenics, is say, what can we do to help you be as healthy as possible for as long as possible and not get all these problems in the first place? So it in one way is a big transition to not be standing at the operating table, but from a philosophical perspective, I actually feel like what I'm doing right now is more pure to my goals than when I was operating on
it. It's an evolution, really.
Yeah.
You've gone from fixing problems that have built up quite often over years and years and years of misuse mm-hmm. of our bodies to the point now where you're going to grab people, even people at my age of 62 and older, and help them really maximize the productivity and the joy of their remaining lives without strong medicines, without prescription drugs that mess with your chemistry and stuff, but instead enhancing what the body does. I've been working real hard over the last year to try and understand. So I was a mechanic for 20 years mm-hmm. before I became a lawyer. So I like to fix things too. And I also like to look at both sides of an equation and try and sort out the details and understand things. And so it's been a real joy over the last year of Synagenics to interact with Dr. Julie and just learn more about how the body works. And then actually step into it myself and see it put into action and get such great results.
Well, your little banter about caretaker brings up a very important point that it's crucial for people to understand. An associate of mine, well, not associate, but somebody I know, Ken Dykewald, sociologist, he actually asked 10,000 people, do you want to live to be 100? The number one answer was, that depends. Because no one wants to be sitting in the wheelchair in the nursing home, drooling on themselves. So you have to make a distinction between elderly and being chronologically older. I'm in better shape now at 63 than when I was on active duty in the Army at 33. So the goal is to avoid the accumulation of chronic diseases, which is what makes somebody elderly, as opposed to making somebody older, but still active, still doing the things they want to do. I mean, I've just told you I'm 63, and what am I doing? I'm starting a whole nother job. When I called my malpractice insurer to tell them what I was doing, they said, well, you know, if you're only going to be doing this 2 or 3 years, I said, no, we're talking a 12 to 17 year period here, and then we'll make a decision as to where to go next.
Sure. Well, and you mentioned malpractice, and this takes me back to your YouTube channel, Dr. Tim Watt, or Tim Watt MD.
Yes.
Tim Watt MD. You've been unafraid to go out and go on record talking about the virus itself, ways to deal with the virus, the inefficacy of masks, and that sort of thing. And I want to get into that because that's very interesting to this audience for sure.
Sure.
And I'm out litigating these issues all the time. Before we get down into those details, though, Dr. Julie McCallan is here from Synagenics. Talk a little bit just about Synagenics. Like, how did you arrive at Synagenics? What's the basic thing that people should understand about what you guys do together?
I arrived as a patient of Synagenics at 40. At 40, I found myself gaining weight, getting tired, almost a little depressed, which is not in my personality structure at all. And I thought, what's wrong with me? And a lot of things that will happen to us women as we age. Constipation is one of those things, and I couldn't sleep. And so I went to my regular doctor, gynecologist, who had delivered my kids, and he said, well, welcome to your 40s. This is just what happens. And I said, well, don't you want to check me out for ovarian cancer since I'm bloated and constipated and tired and depressed? He goes, nope, that's normal for 40s. So I called a friend of mine who is in a different specialty, and I said, Steve, would you scan me, scope me, make sure I don't have cancer? And he goes, yep. And he did that. He goes, you don't have cancer, but I think something is wrong hormonally. So a friend of mine had told me about Alan Mintz, the physician who founded Synagenics. I called Alan Mintz out of the blue. He told me what was wrong over the phone. I went down to see him, and he fixed me. And now at 58, I never have to worry about my weight or other certain bodily functions. I sleep great. I feel great. I have energy all the time. And what I learned was that these are things that are completely under your own control. And if you understand how to replace things that your body is missing as you get older, and how to optimize the way you're eating your food and the way you're exercising, you can actually just get healthier and healthier, even though you're getting older.
At Cenogenics, when I came in for the first time after our phone consultation, this was in the height of the CCP virus pandemic. Everybody shut down, got to wear masks everywhere you go and all that. And I walked into Cenogenics and none of that was going on, even back then, early on into the pandemic. Why is that?
Well, because we understand. You hear certain people banter about science, and these are people who have no idea what science is. My background after biochemistry at Cornell University, now I've been a physician for 31 years, so I actually do know what's true and what's not true. So, like, covering your face, it's the only time I would ever cover my face was if I were opening an abscess that was going to splatter into my face. And I don't like to, I don't like to get splashed in the face with goo. But it doesn't have any impact on transmission of this virus. Plus, we know if you have adequate vitamin D and zinc and you have a good body composition, you're not fat, and you have low blood sugar, you're just not at risk of getting very sick from this at all. So I never worried about catching it from a patient, which I did. It wasn't a big deal at all. And I empower my patients to be healthy. So none of my patients were ever hospitalized. I've treated quite a number.
We're in studio with Dr. Julie McCallum, Dr. Tim Watt from the new addition to Cenogenics here in Denver. And you mentioned in a different context your malpractice carrier. As part of my legal practice, I'm having to represent doctors who are receiving complaints from local medical authorities, Department of Regulatory Agencies here in Colorado, against their licenses for simply speaking out at a school board meeting or in some other public context about alternative treatments, alternative modalities to deal with the CCP virus, or actually daring to give people connections to where they can get some of those things. And so why is there this effort to chill even the conversation about things that are clearly working in Africa, have worked in parts of India, and I've known for over a year doctors who were using some of those modalities to help patients in nursing homes even, and that you guys are also offering to patients under certain circumstances. How do you see this, doctor?
Oh, it's a single word answer: money. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a capitalist. But what Dr. McCallum told you to do is take your vitamin D and lose weight. How much money is there in taking your vitamin D and losing weight? And the bottom line is, this is being driven by companies that are making amounts of money that are so large most people can't even wrap their brain around how much money we're talking about. And a fair amount of that money goes into the pockets of people that are in regulatory agencies. Maybe I'm skating out onto thin ice here, but it's been known for years that the pharmaceutical companies and the FDA both have a revolving door. And one year, you've got somebody that's the vice president of research at a major drug company, and the next year, he's an associate director of the FDA, making a decision on whether or not what the drug company is pumping out is something that should be thrust upon the unwilling public or not. It's just the way it is. Every drug that the FDA has pulled off the market, the FDA approved to put on the market in the first place. And that's not to say they're necessarily deliberately being vile or trying to hurt people. But you always have to be cognizant of what's your motivation. I mean, in my entire career as a surgeon, there were always people looking at you sternly saying, well, you know, you get paid for doing an operation, so are you sure you're not just operating on this person so you can get the money for having done the operation? And my answer categorically is no, I never did that. But do you admit that that exists? And are there probably people out there that when it's, do I or don't I, and the answer is, well, I'm only going to make the payment on the house if I do, there's that subtle nudge. And even in quote-unquote science, a big part of the science game these days is research funding. I was in an MD-PhD program, so I saw both sides of the story. And you have to say the right things if you're going to get the money, whether it's from the Bill Gates Foundation or the NIH or wherever. You come up with the wrong opinion, the wrong answer, you're not funded. And you're not funded, you're out of business.
It's phenomenal. Just the things that relate to my own business as a lawyer, when I decided to step into this business shutdown realm last year and now trying to help people who are hospitalized and are being denied alternative treatments and save foster care babies from being ripped out of the only home they've ever known because young, healthy, medically trained parents won't get vaccinated. And people say, you're just taking advantage of circumstances for the money. I'll tell you what, as a lawyer, there are a lot easier ways to make money doing a divorce or defending a criminal defendant or suing insurance companies or whatever. Because this impacts everything you do. This impacts your family and impacts the way you're written about in newspapers or talked about on radio shows or whatever. So you really have to have a purpose to drive yourself into the midst of this highly controversial topic. And I just don't understand how people can be satisfied or not be up in arms or at least hold off on sticking jabs into their children when all of a sudden you're being told that Pfizer needs 77 years before they can actually release the data on this shot that they're demanding you get vaxxed, then double vaxxed, and now booster. They now have a new term, fully vaxxed and fully boostered. It'll take four boosters. What's wrong with that scenario, Dr. Julie McCowan?
I love the clip from Reagan you played from his 1964 speech. There's certainly too much government intervention in our individual personal lives. As a physician, I take care of the needs of each patient who's before me, and each patient has a different need. So say for my father, who's 87 and not in particularly good health, he chose to get one of these injections, and that's fine. I think for him, it made sense and it was what he wanted to do. I've got no criticism of that. But for someone even like me at 58, who's at perfect body composition with no inflammation, no high blood sugar, perfect vitamin D levels, there would be no reason for me to consider taking an injection, which is not an immunization that wouldn't keep me from getting the shot or getting the virus. And I'm not at danger of getting sick, you know, being super sick from it. So it just wouldn't make sense for me. So I would say, let's just get back to taking care of our patients. Each patient has different needs, and making the right decision for the best health for each patient who's standing in front of us. There is no one size fits all. This goes back to thinking that everybody needs Lipitor. Lipitor needs to be in the water. No, it doesn't. Each person has different needs.
And that's the blessing of Synergize. We're up against a break. You want to make this point now quickly, or we'll pick it up on the other side?
Let's pick it up on the other side, because I'll need a minute.
Okay, good. One of the things I also want to talk about is this rush to jab children and why you guys are specifically concerned about that. One of my court cases, I just happened to pull up the statistic of 4.5 hours to defend a baby from being removed from his home. And I just happened to pull up the statistic and saw that there was a total of like 214 children, and I'm forgetting the exact ages, but a statistically insignificant number of children who have died from the CCP virus over the entire course of the virus since its inception. And yet the push is on to stick that stuff into people's arms. So I want to find out why you're against it, how it works, how the virus does what it does in the body, and why healthy approaches can solve those problems for most people when we come back on the other side. It's 1121. Randy Corcoran with you, 710 KNUS. This seemed like since I was such a monkey's junkie as a little boy, Michael Nesmith's going to die at 78 years old. apparently at home of natural causes. He didn't look overweight or anything. I don't know much about it. But so we're doing our little monkey tribute. Thanks to Mean Gene behind the glass. Good job. 1126, Randy Corcoran, Dr. Julie McCallan, Dr. Tim Watt from Cenogenics, the newest addition to Cenogenics, in studio with us. And we were talking about children and the lack of impact and my concern about jabbing. And I pulled up the CDC latest numbers, and about literally 0% statistically of the deaths in this country are among children all the way from 0 to 18. If you add them all together, every one of those categories, each one of those statistics is zero statistically. That doesn't mean that a couple hundred children dying isn't a serious thing. Of course, it's tragic for every family. But like we were saying during the break with Dr. Watt, imagine the number of kids killed by car crashes and SIDS, suffocating in a crib, by influenza, you mentioned, other childhood diseases. The focus, that's why I always say it's political disease, the focus on the CCP virus has been on case numbers, case numbers, case numbers, case numbers. So which one of you wants to take on explaining to people quickly and simply, since we only have a half hour left in the show, how the CCP virus does what it does to the body and why there are healthy and non-vaccine ways to deal with it? Who wants to start?
Well, let me throw something out first, Randy. And we could spend a whole hour talking about what's wrong with the PCR test because it's not diagnostic. And we could spend a whole hour talking about how interesting it is that influenza cases averaged around 30 million year after year, and last year it was under 2,000. But for sake of argument, let's take...
not brain surgery, as you like to say.
Let's take the mainstream media approach. And before Delta, Lambda, Omicron, Omega, and whatever they're going to use when they run out of Greek letters. And just assume there's one disease out there, this Wu flu. And let's look at what happened to people. Yes, some people died. Some people were in the ICU. Some people got hospitalized. Some people felt like they had a bad flu but weren't sick enough to go to the hospital. Some people, it was like a cold. Other people didn't know they had a darn thing until somebody tested them. Okay, wait a minute. That's six different categories, and we said for sake of argument we got one virus. So which is it? Do we have six different viruses, or do we have one virus and we have different classes health-wise of people? Class may be a pejorative term, but my first job when I was a kid was working for a gardener. All right, so you want a crop, you got to have the seed, you got to have the soil. You want to have a disease, you got to have the pathogen, you got to have the host. All right, so some people are more likely to get sick than others. It doesn't matter if it's Wu flu or the real flu or the common cold or a heart attack. And it's, again, not brain surgery, that the better shape you're in, the less likely you are that you're going to be the person that gets one of the bad categories. All of these viruses, I'm old enough to remember Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom, okay? And the start of every show, you saw the leopard run out and get the gazelle, okay? But it doesn't take the fastest, strongest one down. It's the weak one in the herd. And all of these diseases are the same way. If you're feeble, if you're one of those elderly people I talked about, okay, I mean, yes, it's terrible that people in nursing homes died. I don't want to sound cold-hearted, but guess what people in nursing homes do? They die. That's what they went there to do. And they die from things like bacterial pneumonia and regular old influenza every single day of the week. And like I mentioned to you over the break, part of the problem is the news every day has given us a body count, and it's got people hysterical. And it's not that it's not a shame that people die, but people die all the time. They died all the time before the Wu flu arrived, but you're not aware of it. You run around in a bubble, and unless it's somebody you know that keeled over, you have this mentality that everything's rosy and nobody's going toes up. So now it's like Walter Cronkite during the Vietnam War. Every night we get the body count, and people are saying, oh, my God, they're dropping like flies. Well, not really that much more than we have been historically. It's just everything's being called the same thing, and your face is rubbed in it.
What an early example of the power of the media when Walter Cronkite flipped his view on the Vietnam War and was pounding that drum, and that was, you know, one of three stations that all the people had to watch. It changed America, and now with 24-hour social media and a corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine that is, runs so much of it, they're able to do the same thing. Some of the greatest wisdom comes into this studio via the 710 KNUS text-to-studio app. And Alexa writes, 97% of scientists and researchers agree with those who fund them.
That's right.
it's just brilliant.
Because if you don't, you're not funded anymore.
How do we take seriously the CEO of Pfizer saying, we'll probably need four booster shots in order to fully protect? How do we deal with the CDC changing the definition of vaccinations from something that prevents disease to something that lowers the results if you get the disease to something that lessens I forget the three stages entirely, but they've changed it three times, and twice during the, as you refer to it, the Wu flu.
Here's how we do it. We say no, 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 and no. Just, this is absolute insanity. I think it's more like ideological possession. It's a new religion. The better you understand that these shots, which are treatments, not vaccines, don't protect you from getting the virus, and they don't keep you from sharing the virus when you get it. It seems like maybe they'll make you a little less sick. So for people at high risk, if they don't want to take early treatment medication options, maybe they want to opt for one of these injections. Well, that's fine. It's your choice. It's not someone else's choice. So when the CDC director or whoever else says another booster, another booster, another booster, you can just say, no, I think I'm going to go a different direction with my health now. Clearly this isn't working. You're asking me to get this over and over again. Maybe I should take a different tack because this one isn't working.
I definitely want to spend some time in the final segment of the show talking a little bit about Cenogenics Denver and how you guys help people get control of their health and their energy, their libido, all the things that I've experienced myself just by getting connected with you guys and working the program as much as I fail.
Minus the Oreos, please.
And Oreos and milk. Gene, can you believe this resistance to Oreos and milk? The three definitions of vaccination, pre-2015, injection of a killed or weakened infectious organism in order to prevent a disease. 2015 to 2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. After the Wu flu, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. Hmm. But we're supposed to trust the science. In fact, Dr. Fauci is the science, remember? If you question him, you're questioning the science.
Well, let's not forget his career started back around HIV. Mm-hmm. And no one bothers with remembering history. But the doctors in the trenches, like the ones you're defending right now for treating the patients with the Wu flu, noticed that Bactrim, a generic antibiotic, treated a very unusual type of pneumonia, which previously was mostly seen just in transplant patients. And they came to that certain bureaucrat whose name starts with an F and said, we can treat this pneumocystis pneumonia with dirt cheap Bactrim. And they were told, no, you don't have a randomized prospective controlled study. We're not going to do this. It was a disease of gays at the time, and they were pretty good at getting organized, and they rounded up the money to literally do the trial that they took to that bureaucrat. But it took 2 years to get the trial done, and somewhere between 17,000 and 18,000 AIDS patients died of a pneumonia that could have been treated by a dirt-cheap antibiotic. But that government organization wouldn't give a blessing to using that antibiotic until, by the way, AZT, a very expensive drug, came out.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, in my opinion, for the defamation lawyers out there, is evil. I don't think you need to torture beagles in order to understand how a certain insect eats flesh, or, you know, things like that. It's just absolutely sickening. Let's get back to the CCP virus. What does it do to the body, and why do some of the drugs, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and the vitamin and other combinations that you talk about and that you promote, protect people and strengthen their ability to resist it on their own?
In a nutshell, the spike protein is very... It causes inflammation, it causes thrombosis, blood clots. It's a really irritating little protein. Zinc is a potent antiviral. So if you get the virus and you're getting enough zinc into your cells, it stops the virus from reproducing itself. It halts viral replication. There are ways to push zinc into your cells. Quercetin and vitamin C is a weak zinc ionophore. That's the term to use for the things that push zinc into your cells to stop the virus. Hydroxychloroquine is a much stronger zinc ionophore. So it's really the zinc that's doing the work. And it is the zinc ionophore that's pushing the zinc into the cells where the zinc inhibits the virus from reproducing. So when you get these shots, then you're also telling the body to make this spike protein, which is very noxious. So even though you think, well, we're just getting the body to make a little piece of this virus, the spike protein, that should rally the immune system to be able to fight it. Unfortunately, that's a really pathogenic part of the virus. It's a piece of the virus that causes so much damage. So even when people are getting this shot, their bodies are making this spike protein, and some people are having death as a side effect of getting these shots.
And from a genetic perspective, as you already pointed out, this is not like the good old days where you got a bug that had been killed or attenuated, exposed your body to it, and the body said, oh, we don't like this, it's foreign. Now what you're doing is teaching your body to make something that you want your body to then attack. That's what we call autoimmunity. Mm-hmm. You're literally giving yourself an autoimmune disease and hoping that the results of that are not going to be as bad as what you're hiding under the bed from. And these companies are saying, well, they've been studied extensively. All these jabs are safe. Well, you know what? How do you have 5-year safety data when it hasn't been around 5 years? Anybody that tells you these jabs have a long-term safety record is either woefully ignorant or lying to your face, because there's no long-term. You can't say they're safe long-term. No one knows. Thalidomide was safe until they gave it to people and we got enough deformed babies to realize, oopsie, guess it isn't. So there's no long-term safety data. That's not debatable, no matter what side of the argument you're on.
Talking with Dr. Tim Watt and Dr. Julie McCallan from Cenogenics in studio. We have got one more segment to go in the show. Do you, either of you, have perspectives on, knowledge about, or concerns about the impact on our children to their reproductive systems injecting this drug so quickly and just so aggressively?
Well, the spike protein binds to the ACE2 receptors, and your reproductive system is lined with ACE2 receptors. So you can get, even from the coronavirus, but that's a shorter exposure to the spike protein, you can get inflammation in the tubes that bring the egg in women from the ovaries into the uterus, or you can get inflammation in basically the tubes in the man that bring sperm from the testicles outward, causing infertility, causing scarring. So we won't know, as Dr. Watt said, we don't have any long-term data, but we already know that the spike protein messes with those mechanisms.
I would not be on this mission of information if they were just simply honest about what is known and what is not known, and people were allowed to get the information that's available and then make their own decisions.
Amen.
It would be a whole different conversation. We'd be exploring the data, and And you would think our government and scientists and doctors would be encouraging people to try anything and everything that shows signs of success. And instead, and it's, I believe, like you do, Dr. Watt, that it's the money.
Well,
it's the massive money. People are getting unbelievably wealthy over pumping this vaccine over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, if you've watched closely, actually, even on the mainstream media, even the Fauciites, they've mentioned kind of en passant things that work, like vitamin D and not being obese. But it's mentioned very hastily. It's brushed aside. Nothing to see here. Let's get back to what we're trying to get you to do, which is to wear the worthless face diaper, stay away from people. And by the way, 6 feet was a number that was pulled arbitrarily out of thin air and has no bearing on actual science. And again, everything that we know from real, honest-to-gosh science published in respectable scientific journals that would make a huge impact on stopping this pandemic has been ignored for the sake of driving something that's making people wealthy.
And the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine goes right along with it. They don't report on successes in India. They don't report on the Israeli studies. Just so many different things, pieces of information that are out there to help people make a decision. Mm-hmm. Instead, they'll pass executive orders and laws that are ultimately overturned and deemed unconstitutional, and then they'll intimidate people through risk of loss of job, inability to attend school, to get as many people who are prone to be influenced by that type of coercion to get the jab just as fast as possible. It's outrageous. There ought to be an uprising from shore to shore in this country. We've got to take our final break here, but when we come back, I want to make sure we do two things. We talked a little bit about hydroxychloroquine, helps open up the receptors to take in the zinc, which is what fights the spike protein. I want to find out the science on ivermectin and why you both support the use of that. And then make sure we talk a little bit about Cenogenics and just the benefits that are available for people. I assume now the free consultations can be with either you or Dr. Tim Watt.
That is correct.
That's going to be fantastic. I may start over just to have a freebie with Dr. Watt. We'll see.
Well, there you go.
It's 11:43, about 17 minutes to go until noon. Bird Talk at the top of the hour. Randy Corpin with you on 710 KNUS. That was Heartthrob, Davey Williams.
I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings the 6 o'clock alarm.
You know you sing that in the shower when it comes on Oldies Radio. Probably our last sort of little tribute to the Monkees, and due to the passing of Michael Nesmith at the age of 78, way, way, way too early. At 62, I sort of feel the pain now. Really a pleasure to have had Dr. Tim Watt, Dr. Julie McCallan from Cenogenics Denver in studio. I've benefited so much just from my first year of involvement, and in a very undisciplined way, it has still made a huge difference for me. And hopefully life will calm down enough to really get a focus, because I get mm-hmm. the importance of it. You know, you can just tell the before and after for your own self. And we'll definitely talk about Cenogenics a couple of minutes. We mentioned hydroxychloroquine. I read a little bit from an article about that Dr. Ben Carson was talking about how evil the suppression of these alternative medications and not making them available for people has been. And you talked briefly, Dr. Julie, about hydroxychloroquine. Let's just get a quick snippet on why you guys utilize ivermectin in your treatment sometimes.
Well, it's important to realize that there are a huge number of medications out there that doctors across the board use in what's called off-label uses. Okay, Viagra was developed as a blood pressure medicine. It doesn't work real well, but all the guys that were taking it all of a sudden found a whole nother use for it, and it's a big seller. All right. If they're worried about your heart, your cardiologist puts you on aspirin. It wasn't invented as a heart medicine. Okay, it's to get rid of your headache. So the idea that it's somehow alternative, like wearing a tinfoil hat and sitting underneath a crystal, to use a medication for a purpose other than the one it was invented for is ludicrous. And ivermectin, by the way, is on the list of the 25 most important medications in the world as designated by the World Health Organization. By the way, its inventor won the Nobel Prize for its invention. So you hear the mainstream people saying, well, it's a horse dewormer. It's to get rid of strongyloides and parasites. Yes, it is. But guess what else it does? it inhibits viral replication. I'm not going to make your eyes roll back in your head with a biochemistry lecture, but the way the virus does damage in most viruses, it gets in your cell and it starts reproducing like mad. It actually co-opts your own cellular machinery, makes your body work against itself. Ivermectin slows that process down. It inhibits the virus from replicating. All right. So, yeah, if your horse has worms, you give it to it. If your dog has worms, you give it to it. But guess what? People all over the world have been taking it for years, just like people all over the world have been taking hydroxychloroquine. And neither one of them were a dangerous drug until somebody had the gall to suggest that it might be a generic, cheap, effective way to treat somebody without having to give them an experimental injection. All right. And getting back to how we approach these people in Synagenics, because like Dr. Julie said, we have patients at Synagenics that got COVID. We just don't have any that got to the hospital and the ICU. All right. We already said the problem with the jab is it's not really a vaccine. I won't call it that, because the makers came out in the beginning and said, well, it won't stop you from getting it. It won't stop you from spreading it. But God willing, you won't be as sick. Vitamin D really isn't a vitamin. It's a hormone. And one of its major functions is to modulate your immune system. So if we get your vitamin D level where it belongs, and I've got $20 that says nobody in your listener radius has a vitamin D level where it belongs unless they're taking it. You can't get enough sunlight up here. If you get your vitamin D level where it belongs, guess what? It won't stop you from getting it. It won't stop you from spreading it, but you won't be as sick. And as a matter of fact, maybe you won't get it at all. And what do we have with vitamin D that we don't have with the jab? We've been giving vitamin D to people for ages.
It is long-term safe.
The proof being your own darn body makes it. So any five-year-old listening should have been able to figure out the logic if one option is take something that makes it a little less likely you get it, a little less likely you spread it, and a lot less likely it makes you sick, and it has zero risk. Versus the one that is killing people, is damaging people. I know an orthopedic surgeon that retired because he got his booster and now his hands are shaking so bad he looks like out of control Parkinson's disease.
I represent a Denver police officer, 34-year-old father of four, who can't walk after the first jab. And he survived COVID without a vaccine last year, served the Denver police force bravely throughout the entire pandemic. I know of kids, et cetera. We've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left. And one thing I want to make sure for people who've been hanging on to this conversation know what to expect if they go to denver.cenogenics.com or call you at Denver Cenogenics for an initial consultation. What happens next, and how do you help people get their own body chemistry under control?
We usually start with a pretty in-depth lab analysis. We check your blood for about 90 different things, a bunch of your different hormones, inflammation markers, glycation or sugar sticking to protein, advanced heart disease risk factor markers, as well as all the usual stuff like.
And by the way, the blood drawers come to your house.
Yeah.
They just come to me.
Yeah.
When I want.
Our vampires show up at your house, draw the blood, get it off to our reference lab. When all the results are in, we see you in the office for about a full day evaluation that starts with some testing, first on the bone density machine to measure exactly how much fat you have, how much muscle you have, and how those are distributed. A bone density test to tell me how healthy your bones are. And by the way, Randy, in just 1 year, you had a 3% increase in the density at your hips, bringing you out of osteopenia back into healthy bone density. You had a 6% increase at your lumbar spine. Yes, bringing you out of osteopenia into healthy bone density.
And you know what? I have less lower back pain.
Of course you do.
So
I love it.
Yeah.
Then we do some...
virtually none, I could really honestly say. Yeah.
We look at the health of your arteries by ultrasound of your carotid arteries, measuring the thickness of the lining. We do some detailed exercise testing, including VO2 max testing, as well as measurements of strength, flexibility, and balance.
I'm going to admit something.
What?
And this is really embarrassing, looking at the stud over here, Dr. Tim Watt, and of course you, just you're ready to go. When I came in, I did zero push-ups for my first physical test. Literally couldn't get my fat belly up off the ground.
You'll be happy to know we found a way to make them more difficult.
Yes,
to do
we
now.
Did. We just agreed to do. Well,
I did 18, and I could have kept going, but I knew there were planks ahead and some other tests. I did the plank for, I didn't quite make 3 minutes, but about 2 minutes, 40 seconds, I think, something like that. So just massive improvements. And I really didn't start the exercise portion of my program until a couple of months mm-hmm. before, when I was terrified about having to come back in and face you and have accomplished nothing. So
I know, it's really funny. So I also want to make a point that we do a lot of brain testing.
Yes.
So cognitive function testing, portable EEG, looking at brain speed, brain voltage. So we really are aggressive at dementia prevention. Dementia is something that can be prevented. You just have to give the brain everything it needs to do so. And then coaching you through, putting you on a plan of attack to make you healthy.
Music means we've got about 30 seconds left. So mm-hmm. it's denver.cenogenics.com. The phone number 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. Dr. Tim Watt, Dr. Julie McCallum, can't wait for the next year working with you. Encourage everybody to give you a call. Find out for yourselves. Man, what a great hour. Hope we can have you come back in and do it again sometime mm-hmm. real soon.
Our pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Andy.
Folks on the phone, so sorry. Bird Talk is next. They probably will not be interested in talking about the legal possibility of states to defy federal government, immigration, etc. But I will be back next Saturday. Always remember, please never, ever forget. I'm Randy Corcoran. God loves you. So do I. Stay free. Never give up the fight. Never back down. It's you and me, baby, all the way.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.